Welcome to the show of douchebaggery at its finest.
And we're full of badassery on this show.
You know what I mean?
You know, we're just a couple of idiots. I can't believe people actually download this show.
Rules, rules, rules. I feel like we're on the Brady Bunch and I'm Jan. You know what I mean?
If you are new to the show and your ears start bleeding after listening, don't worry. That is a common side effect.
I was a good bowler until I lost my balls. You know what I mean?
Oh, what a douche I am.
Because I ain't got nothing to hump come rut. You know what I mean?
This podcast is almost about bow hunting.
You're talking the wrong guy. I just do a hunting podcast. You know what I mean?
This is the Great Gatsky from Crete, Illinois, and you're listening to Backwoods Bowhunter with Tim and Mike. You know what I mean?
Damn right I do.
Episode 70 of the Backwoods Bowhunter podcast.
70?
Can you believe that?
No.
That's crazy.
Mm-mm. No.
Time clips away, man. We have done 70 of the giant shit show known as Backwoods Bowhunter that folks keep downloading.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Hey, keep them coming.
That's right. Now, what I was trying to do was let them hear your angelic voice.
That is freaking beautiful.
Today, we are going to go in the backwoods talking about whatever fires you the hell up. Because if it fires you up, get after it.
Hell yeah.
And the reason why is because there is so much content to get to that I was like, there's just no way we're going to just narrow down one topic and talk about broadheads or whatever the hell. No. You know?
So, we've got all kinds of knowledge. We might as well spread it out.
That's right.
Yeah. We're being canceled.
That's right.
We are. We better not be.
You said it. I mean.
Well, I guess I did.
Yeah.
I don't lie.
I have a brand new soundboard, and I'm all fired up, but I had to relocate everything, and it's going to be like long delays on everything that we do.
Here's what I think we need. Behind me, we need a giant whiteboard.
Yeah.
With all of them on there, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This way you could be looking and be like, oh, damn, I need 7. Bam, and hit it, and we won't have any delays.
You know what we really need is a soundboard person.
Yes.
Or you and I just rattle off whatever the hell we want to say, yeah. And they can sit over there and punch buttons.
Maybe we should get HR
That's
involved.
What I think. Yeah.
And see if they can hire us somebody.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
Okay.
So what a week it has been. My websites were hacked by somebody in China. We'll get to that here in a little bit.
Nice.
It happened a year ago and took my entire systems down, and we repeated. So we'll dive into that a little bit. But
China.
But Basavaraj helped me out.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Basavaraj.
Basavaraj.
That was the cat's name.
Maybe he needs to get a job at Spy Point.
But we'll dive into that, too.
Okay, good.
There's all kinds of content, I'm telling you.
Sweet.
So, like I said, it's been a week.
They turned me loose from the nervous hospital. Said I was well.
Mm. Yeah. I got released from the nervous hospital.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. You know.
I'm glad to hear that.
Mm. All right, Dan. Hey, I can do that one, too.
I love that guy.
All right, Dan.
You cannot go wrong with some Sling Blade.
Absolutely not.
Went to the Cardinal game.
I saw that.
Yeah, so I don't know if Wrigley Field has this or not. I'm assuming since it's an older
baseball,
ballpark.
No.
Well, that too. I'm assuming since it's an older field, they may not. But at Busch Stadium, they have what's called Cardinals Club, or Error Operation Interrupted. Okay.
Beautiful.
It's still ticking, though.
Okay.
I don't know. If it records, it records. If it don't, it don't, right?
It just won't make it to the YouTubes.
Yeah, I don't know. The button don't even work anymore. So.
Oh. Maybe it overheated.
Who knows?
Right now, we're experiencing technical difficulties, people. Oh, please. Yeah. Stay with us.
I think it's rolling.
Don't cancel the show yet.
Yeah, it not like it's ever going to get on video anyway.
No.
It's called Cardinals Club, or a lot of people commonly refer to it as the green seats. So it runs from the first base dugout to the third base dugout behind home plate, and it's only, I think, the first 8 rows.
Okay.
I think it goes from A to H. And we try to go to that at least once a year. Because it is expensive.
I would say so.
But it's cool because when you get there, you get access to there's a section that you get access to that nobody else gets access to. And as you enter into a restaurant. And it's not ballpark foodish restaurant. It's high-end stuff.
So no hot dogs?
Well, you can get a hot dog in there if you want. You can get anything you want, but the restaurant itself
is a high-end restaurant.
So you sit there, and it's all-inclusive, so it's all the food you want, and they'll bring you all the beer, wine, top-shelf liquors, you name it. It's you have full access to it. And then when you get done with the restaurant, you go through the little tunnel, and then we always get caught trying to go to our seats because this is where the umpires come through too. So we'll come out into the tunnel, and they'll have it roped off as we have to wait for the umpires to walk by us, and then we can come on through.
You don't want
to
mingle with them.
No. But it's cool to see them. You know, be up close and personal with them.
Give one a high five or something.
You go out to your seats, and then the whole time you're at your seats, you have a designated waitress or waiter who comes to your seats, and it's all-inclusive out there.
Damn.
So you say, I'll Bud Select and three hot dogs. They'll run off and bring you back a Bud Select and three hot dogs. You know, I mean, whatever.
Hmm.
You know, the whole game. So
these tickets are sounding more and more expensive by the minute.
It's pretty cool. It's probably not as expensive as you think, but they are expensive.
Are they Lambeau Field expensive?
I mean, they're not like $70 seats, you know, or anything like that. But we paid more to go see the Packers at Lambeau than we pay for the green seats in St. Louis.
Yeah. Sheesh. Okay.
All right. Now, with that said.
Okay.
My wife was talking about, you know, hey, it's almost September. We haven't done the green seats yet. What do you think about going to Sunday's game? I'm looking around, scheduling and so forth. I'm like, that'll work, you know. So got the tickets and green seats, of course. So she decided that we would take it a little bit of a step further. And she said, what do you think about just staying overnight in St. Louis? That way you can enjoy the green seats.
If you're there.
If you want to have more Bud Selects than you're capable of driving home on,
yep,
you can.
Solid choice.
I'm like, sounds good. And it's nice that we have a 16-year-old now who can take her little brother to school.
Bam.
So I don't have to be here Monday morning to get him off to school.
Oh, so just the two of you went to the green seats.
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay.
Yeah, my kids can't eat and drink enough to justify the cost. So I have taken them there before, though, just for the experience.
Yeah.
And believe me, when they ordered every cookie and bag of popcorn and dips and whatever the hell, you know,
they got their money in junk food.
Peanuts. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, she says, well, let's get the hotel across from Ballpark Village. That way we don't have to worry about trying to Uber over to the stadium or catch a cab or walk or drive or whatever, you know. I'm cool. So we get to the Hilton ballpark and get checked in and everything. She said, you're going to be excited about this room. And I said, why is that? She goes, oh, I upgraded this. Cool. So we get up to the room and I'm like, walk in. I'm like, it looks like a damn hotel room. You know, I'm not, what kind of upgrade did we get?
Yeah.
She pulls open the curtains. We were looking straight down into Busch Stadium.
Oh.
I'm like, that is cool.
That's pretty neat.
Although we're looking at it empty at this point.
Yeah.
And when it's filled, we're going to be over there.
You'll be in there, yeah.
So I'm like, whatever, but hey, it was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool.
So, nice view.
Yeah, good time, you know. Yeah. And it's not something you do every time, of course, because it gets in the pocket, but
yeah,
an annual thing.
Mm-hmm.
It had a good time.
You might as well.
Might as well.
Well, I'm glad you had fun.
I had a blast, man. I had a blast, and the Birds won the game, so that's even better.
There you go.
All right.
You're a good luck charm.
As always, we bring you incredibly mediocre content in a completely meaningless way from the heart of Big Buck Country, right here in the Whiskey and Whitetail Studio.
Any chance HR could fire that guy?
Captain Interrupt Us again. Bye, Felicia.
We'll just get rid of him.
You can't do that while I'm drinking. You almost got a coffee shower. That's an upgrade from a golden shower, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's hard to upgrade from.
It is hard, but it's capable.
Our buddy Tony Dempsey is currently in the Colorado.
Oh.
He arrived yesterday.
Nice.
So he sent me a picture, and it was way off in the background, a set of mountains, and he said, I'm going to be up in there tomorrow. And I said, get after it, son. So
better him than me.
See how it goes. He's chasing the bull elk.
Nice.
That's Mike over there, and I'm Tim. And as Backwoods Bowhunter, we are proud to support and use Scent Crusher products.
Of course.
You said you like the Scent Crusher closet, which I do as well.
Yeah.
I love the gear bag. Can't go wrong with that gear bag, man.
No. No. The one that got commandeered from me?
That one, yeah. Killer Food Plots. We are trying out their products for the first time this season. And As of right now, my borderline is growing.
Yeah.
I was out mowing yesterday, and I came across the food plot and noticed we have some growth. We have some greenery.
Nice.
The clover has yet to sprout, but we also are in a damn drought.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Major big time.
Now, we did have some rain the other day. Not a bunch, but we had some rain. So maybe that'll help.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. Havilon Knives, I say it every damn week, and I'll say it again. We got to get Matt from Havilon on the show. I think that would be a good episode.
Just want to compliment you.
I did do it right this time. Yep, but
I'm very proud of you.
I have to readily admit something. It erred on us again. What the hell is going on?
Errors.
I have to readily admit something. I had to focus on it.
You did?
I did. I had to like really pay attention to what I was reading to make sure I didn't say Garmin knives.
Or Havilon watches.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. You done good, though. I'm really proud of you.
Speaking about doing an episode about whatever gets you fired up, get after it. Well, this gets me fired up. There are 4 weeks till opening day.
29 days.
Woohoo! 29.
Yeah. Get it.
When this show airs, there will be 1 day until Kentucky's opening bow season.
I'm seeing people talk about that, and it makes me a little bitter. They're like, oh, 4 more days. I'm like, no, it ain't. But it is for them.
Yep, sadly.
My niece went on a Tennessee velvet hunt. I didn't get all the details from her. I need to talk to her and get into the details on it.
Already?
Yeah. Yeah, she sent a picture on Snapchat, and she's in a blind, and she's got her gun next to her. And I said, what the hell are you hunting? And she said, Tennessee velvet, something about the CDW. They have to have antlers only. You can't shoot does. Yeah, she didn't get anything, but just the fact of being in a blind made me think, okay, next year I'm putting a program together. Maybe
interesting. I didn't know they had such a thing. So is that try to control the CWD?
But
if you're gonna do that, why is it bucks only?
I don't know.
I mean, does carry CWD too.
I know. But it's velvet season, is what they call it. Don't know much about it. I have to get with her because her and her husband, that's all they do. He's dyslexic.
Is he?
A little bit.
Yeah, I don't know him.
I haven't met him either.
But how do you know he's dyslexic?
I'm pretty smart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's my intuition.
All right, let's kick off the Blue Line Badass. We're going to snowball all out of this one already.
Yeah. That's a great song.
I even let it go a little longer this time.
You did. I was happy because normally right when I'm starting to really get into it, you're like,
I mean, you sing better.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's just a warm up.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
I was told I have a voice like Fergie. Yeah, okay. Let's read the Blue Line Badass.
This one's out of Waukegan, Illinois. It's a short one, but, valuable. A suburban Chicago police officer shot and killed a man Wednesday afternoon, so a week ago today, who was advancing towards him with a knife and a hammer and had a gas can taped to his chest.
Good Lord.
According to the Waukegan Police Department, they said the officer, a 15-year veteran, was responding to a neighborhood dispute at about 12:45 p.m. when he saw a wooden fence separating two houses on fire. He grabbed a fire extinguisher from his squad car and walked toward the burning fence when the man approached him. Again, man approached him, knife, hammer, and a gas can taped to his chest. When the man refused the officer's order to stop, officer stopped him.
Put him down.
And now he has to deal with that for the rest of his life. However, he saved others. So he is indeed. They didn't send me a name. It just says officer. Anyway,
well,
that officer is a Blue Line badass.
Absolutely is. 100%. Agreed. How the hell do you tape a damn gas can onto your freaking chest? You have to have help with that.
I don't know. And when we were doing the Proud to Support news, I forgot something.
Yeah.
I specifically made a trip in to go get this just to turn around and not read it.
Yeah. You did go get that, I remember.
Huntworth Camo. We skipped that one for some reason.
They're also a proud sponsor, sort of, but not really.
Let's see here.
We just love their stuff.
Well, they have a new product that I wanted to talk about here. So it is going to be here soon.
Yeah.
All right, here it is. The latest innovation from Huntworth Camo, Heat Boost.
Heat Boost?
Heat Boost is a line of graphene-enhanced fabrics engineered for lightweight, superior warmth. Heat Boost is the next generation of advanced fabrics that are changing how we dress for cold weather and giving us the ability to hunt longer and better, no matter the temperature. The inclusion of graphene yarn into a traditional fabric supercharges it with the features inherent to graphene. I have no idea what graphene is.
No.
The graphene yarn harnesses your body's energy, absorbs the heat, and releases it back, surrounding you in radiant warmth, even on extremely cold days. Simply put, with Heat Boost, we took a warm material and made it even warmer, about 30% warmer.
Huh. Well, that sounds like it might be worth a shot.
And they are currently 20% off.
Jeez.
So check out Huntworth and look at the Heat Boost technology.
Their new warm gear.
You dig it or you don't.
Yeah.
You do you, boo.
Hey, if you're the guy that goes out and says, oh, it's too cold, got to go in, better give it a shot because you don't want to miss the hunt.
Right?
Yeah.
Nope. You want to be out there in the live action.
Yeah. Live action. Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay. Oh, God.
I don't know.
I love your soundboard, Tim.
You're all up. That wasn't soundboard. You're wound up today.
I'm all fired up.
You ready to go in the backwoods?
Absolutely.
All right.
It's the mystical flight of the arrow traveling downrange, searching for its next target. The thrill of chasing the elusive whitetail buck as it slips through the tall oaks. That encounter with a bull elk that is so close, you can feel its breath. The hair that stands up on your neck when you hear that long-bearded turkey gobble in the spring. It's our passion. It's our tradition. It's Backwoods Bow Hunter. And now, it's time to go full draw in the backwoods.
I got a side job fetching balls.
I know, we talked about that.
Yeah. I've definitely been slacking on that.
Have you?
I've been slacking on my ball fetching.
I drove by there on the interstate, and I saw a pond with a John boat sitting there, and I thought, I bet that's one of the ones that's out there.
That's my dinghy.
That's your main guy there.
Yeah, that's my dinghy I bring out.
Yep.
Yeah.
How come you not been doing it?
Tim, we just been busy.
Yeah.
Last couple of weekends, we tried doing crap with the kids every day, you know, before little guy went back to school, and just tried to get all that
damn kids
family time we could in together. And other than that, it was too damn hot. And I'm like, I'm not going out there and baking in that water. So I'll probably go this weekend. I got a 3-day weekend. So
yeah, it's Labor Day weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. We're going to go hit that 3D archery range Sunday.
Are you?
Yeah. And then we're going to go to the 3D archery at Ren Lake Sporting Goods in Mount Vernon. You ever been that?
No.
It's a big giant screen, and they give you these like felt tip arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go out there, and they have like targets come in. You got to shoot them while they're moving, and it ranges points, and you see
I've seen those at the ATA show set up.
Yeah. So we're going to go do that Monday while Kelly's at work and we're all at home.
Thinking about going back to the Cardinal game Monday and taking Jake this time.
Are you?
Yeah.
In the green seats?
No.
You gonna get some nosebleeds?
No.
Go on, Jake. We're gonna go watch him from way up here.
I don't know what we're end up, but I'm not buying him green seats, no. look at this.
I think this is cool.
I got myself a couple of new hang-ons.
Uh oh.
And I researched a bunch of different stands. I was looking at Summit, and I was looking at, I don't know, you name them, but I ended up with Hawk. I don't know if you're familiar with Hawk brands.
Yeah.
They have this guy right here.
I've got a couple of Hawk stands up.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
This is called the Cruiser Hang-On Tree Mounting Bracket. Have you ever seen these? So you take this guy, and I took the cap off already. It's got a little cap on it, but
yeah.
You take this. I don't know if our thing's recording or not. So
yeah, it might be. It might not.
That's what it looks like. So it's got this bracket with your teeth, right?
Yeah.
So once you have your climbing sticks, which I got the Hawk Ranger climbing sticks. I thought those were cool because the climbing sticks, instead of being your standard like a ladder shape,
yes,
they angle them out away from the tree a little bit. So they're angled out and gives you more foot room to step on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when they're flat, you're trying to get your boot up against the tree. And
the flat
on the
ones
stick
always
at the same
confuse
time.
Me.
Yeah. Well, these are angled out a little bit, so you have more platform to stand on. But basically, the idea behind this is you go up your sticks with just this, so you're not packing your hang on. Mount this to the tree, so you got your strap and your teeth to dig into the tree and mount it. Then go grab your hang on and bring it up, and it sits on this pedestal right here. Just sits down on there. And then you take your little cap, you can screw it back on.
Huh.
So now your stand is sitting there on this, and it frees you up to put your strap around your actual
stand. Yeah. Okay.
Because it's being held by this.
Yeah.
Instead of you trying to hoist your stand up there, hold it to the tree, run the strap around it, and do all that, all you got to do is mount this little bracket.
And that's a bitch.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't enjoy that.
Yes.
I went out with Mikey and Tyler, and guess who had to hang it?
You.
Two 19-year-olds and a 48-year-old. Yeah, we don't like shit bags either. No, not even a little. And they're like, oh, who's going to put it up? I said, apparently me. Whenever we put a new stand up, who's the one that climbs it before it's secured to the tree and puts the first strap on? This idiot. Not them two.
No, of course not.
No. And I tell them, hey, make sure you hold the ladder still down at the bottom, right? I get up there and, you know, it's always a little shaky. You're a little scared. I look down and one of these dick bags will be on their phone. I'm like, put your goddamn phone down. Oh, I'm just looking. I've got to stand. No consideration.
Maybe Slowpoke is pretty slow downstairs in the feet, but he's pretty fast upstairs in the cabeza.
Yeah. Sometimes.
I don't know if that fits there or not.
But. No, but hey, it's a nice one. It's a good one to throw in there.
You were talking about your son. I just thought of Slowpoke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why I fired that one off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what they do. They
that's
sit
my favorite
there.
Looney Tunes character, by the way.
Is
Slowpoke
it?
Rodriguez.
Okay. He's a good one.
Yeah.
He's a classic. Well, you don't get good cartoons anymore.
He's legit, man.
They're all crap now.
He's legit. He don't get in a hurry, though.
No. He takes his time.
His cousin Speedy's the one that's always in a rush.
Andale, andale, hira, hira.
Yeah. So I haven't got them out yet. They just came in. So
what does a system like that run?
Give it a try.
Because that would be a hell of a lot easier.
Just this? Because, of course, you got to buy the hang-on to go with it.
You shitting me? It doesn't come as a package deal?
No. That's an accessory to your hang-on stand.
What the hell?
Yeah. I'll tell you what it costs, though.
Sheesh.
So you buy the hang-on, and not all of their stands, I guess, are compatible with it. But, I mean, I looked at three or four different ones, I guess, and all of them said compatible with the Cruiser. So
okay.
I don't know. Let's see if I can find it for you, and I will let you know what it costs. How about that?
We usually usually use the climber, the sticks, that actually looks like a little ladder. Those tend to work out pretty nice, too. You ever seen them?
You'll have to specify a little bit more. What are you talking about?
For the climbing sticks, for the lock-ons, we actually use, it looks like a 4-foot ladder section. It's about this wide. It's about maybe 6-8 inches wide. And it actually pops out like a ladder. So you actually have steps going up.
Okay.
As opposed to just the little pegs on the side.
Sure.
Because the ones like you were talking about originally, those are really hokey. Especially if you got feet like Mikey, size 12s. It's hard to get
11.
Any grip on that. Yeah. I'm a 10 and a half, pretty solid.
I like these Ranger ones. They were highly rated, and just the fact that they angle them out where you get more foot room, you know, made I was like, shit. I mean, that's no brainer to me.
Yeah.
This Cruiser tree bracket is $44.
Oh, well, hell, that ain't bad.
No.
No. And let me tell you, that would be a hell of a lot better than trying to get up that tree, hoisting that bastard up and holding it on your head while you're trying to get that first strap around. Not fun.
Nope.
Yeah.
Agreed. That sucks, actually.
Bear hugging that tree like your life depends on it. That's gonorrhea.
Mm-hmm. As I think it is.
Right up there with it.
Shane, you want to do an email?
Yeah.
Shane from Carterville-ish.
Ish.
That's what it said. Carterville-ish. Okay. I'm assuming he means Carterville, Illinois. It didn't specify. Or maybe there's a town called Carterville-ish. I don't know.
Or it's unincorporated Carterville.
Shane from Carterville-ish has been hunting for years and always kills deer. Good.
It's a win.
I just don't ever seem to get the opportunity to kill a big mature buck. Any tips or advice on what I might be doing wrong? So I have a few ideas. It's not like I kill mature bucks every year. So
no.
I am the furthest thing and the expert from this. I'm sure you have listened to some of our previous shows where we've talked about tactics, especially early season tactics and hot water and that sort of stuff that we, food plots. So some advice has been given already. What I could come up with is mature bucks behave and think differently than younger bucks do. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get in their head. You have to think like they think. And a lot of that is through scouting and just understanding patterns of the deer that are around you. And I don't know where you hunt in Carterville-ish, but it's quite possible your location in Carterville-ish doesn't produce mature bucks. You know, I don't know. So it's kind of a broad question, but here's some things that I know. Mature bucks are homebodies. They have a smaller range. So a lot of people don't know that as they age, they shrink their territory. It kind of becomes, some of it's laziness. They're getting older, and some of it is smaller places they feel safer. I was telling you about a buddy of mine. I wanted him to come on the show, but trying to narrow him down to do that's not been easy. He was talking about a buck that he hunted on his family farm. I think it's a family farm. It's on a farm, nonetheless, that he said this joker lived in like a 200 by 200 section. So basically an acre.
Yeah.
He lived there. And hardly ever did he
roam
from his little spot that he had. And apparently he had everything he needed there. And
yeah.
You know, and trying to get inside of a 1 acre section to hunt that guy,
yeah.
This is not going to be an easy task, you know? So,
yep.
Just know that, their zones become smaller, and like here on this property, we've got 20 acres here. They don't live on me here.
Yeah.
They never have. I'm not real sure why. We have cover, we have water, I have food, but they don't. They live to the property of the north of me. Chicken owns that property, and that's how he introduced himself to me, was his chicken.
Well,
Chicken doesn't hunt, so I'm not worried about him
smoking them,
doing anything with them other than, you know, human element and their territory. But they usually cross from Chicken's property over to mine, and that's where I try to ambush them. So depending on what your property in Carterville-ish is, you may be in a similar scenario.
Yeah. Another suggestion is hunt as much possibility of the rut as you can.
Yes.
Because honestly, the three that I've got on my wall have all come in that first week and a half, 2 week November-ish time.
Which I can skip ahead to that if you want, because that's one of them is the rut. So something I read, I just read it last night and I educated myself on, I didn't know. Mature whitetails will actually enter the rut and breed sooner than the younger bucks will. So if you're seeing signs of rut activity, you may already be a tad bit late to even chase them. So you want to be ahead of that.
Yeah.
You know, they're ahead of it.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about.
And that does make sense because when I go up north, it's the first week of November, which out here, we normally don't hit the rut till second week. Second going into third-ish week of
November.
So I go up there, and the last 2 years, it's been the same exact day, 1 year apart, November 5th. So, and then the year before, 2 years before that was November 8th. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and all three of those were 5+ year old deer. You know, I mean, that joker over there, he's an old.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. I mean, that joker over there has got some age on him.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And so.
I don't know. I just played that.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's very intense music.
Research has shown, it was a research study that came out of Texas and Michigan, has shown that mature bucks have less than half of the home range of a 2.5-year-old or younger. So just know that if you're trying to hunt a mature deer, narrow your scope, you know.
I don't know about you personally, but I don't see very many, not where I hunt, the areas I hunt, I don't see very mature deer. I've seen nice bucks, but not very mature outside of the rut.
Yeah, we don't either.
The areas I hunt
here. I don't hear
you. The only ones I ever really see that are mature are usually right there, right at the start or during the rut. After that, I mean, I've seen some nice ones, you know, after it, even on that second rut that they have in December, early December. It's always that first rut is when I see the most mature whitetails. I'm not saying they don't roam. I just don't know where the hell they roam.
Yeah.
Prior to that.
Well, and that's my issue here with Chicken over there. He's got a lot of the same things I have. He's got cover. He's got water. There's a cropland behind him, you know, to the north. You know, they don't have to come over here, you know, until they start chasing my does, you know, so. Yeah. Another thing I thought of, hunting pressure. You know, mature bucks are a different animal than an immature when it comes to hunting pressure.
Yeah.
You blow them up once, you're probably not going to see them again.
Nope.
You know, so just keep that in mind. They're going to stick to dense cover.
There's a reason they hit 5 and 6 years old.
There is. They're going to stick to dense cover, and that reminds me of my story of I think I showed you that buck last week or 2 weeks ago, the one that was 30-something points and
yeah,
scored 200 and whatever it was.
Yeah.
What he did was he had a vibe. He's like, I have a feeling I need to get into this thick stuff that nobody goes into, and it's going to be really hard to get in there. And he did it, and guess what? That day,
paid off.
Yep. That day, that monster came walking down that creek bed in there, and he hammered his ass.
Yeah.
And I don't know over in Carterville-ish if you're hunting public or private. I do know with public land hunters, a lot of hunters, I'm not saying them all, but a lot of hunters rarely will go more than a few hundred yards from the road.
Uh-huh.
You know, for whatever the reasons.
Yep.
Laziness or whatever it may be. Get into that dense cover. Get in there where there's no hunting pressure if you have that, if you're a public land hunter.
Yeah.
So, you know. It's,
not only that, once you start hunting the public land, like the first couple of years I started hunting the public land that I hunt, I hunted it a lot. I had other places to hunt, but I wanted to find out how much pressure those deer were actually getting. Now, yes, I was putting pressure on, but I was also trying to learn that land. And like I've told you in the past, all the times I've hunted that land, I've pulled into one vehicle ever in that spot, or pulled out, you know, when I go to leave, have a second vehicle be in there. So I know the area that I hunt doesn't have a lot of pressure.
Right.
So that kind of helps out that area. Now that I know that area, I'll only hunt that spot maybe 4 or 5 times a year. And it's not always the same exact spot. I may go, I've got 2 different trees that I've got cleaned out that I can climb, that I've got a bow holder up in.
Yeah.
And those 2 trees, I'll go in between, you know, those 4 or 5 times that year.
Yeah.
But I don't have to hunt it so much because I know there's not that much pressure out there anymore.
Well, that's a point that us private hunters have problems with. I mean, I have fell into a rut, pun intended there. I have fell into a rut where I get into a habit of hunting the same stand over and over and over and over because it's one that I've had success with. And I'm just constantly thinking, man, I've killed so many here. I know it's any moment in time I'm going to have that opportunity. But what I don't think about when I'm doing that is how I'm educating them, you know.
Yeah.
You can't educate, especially a mature buck.
Mm-hmm.
You educate that deer, that's where you're at all the time. Guess where he's not going to be?
Yep.
They, like you said, they live to be 5.5 years old and older
for a reason.
For a damn reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, make sure you hunt the right conditions. We got into the wind and stuff like that. And use a good strategy where you're not going to blow them up. Don't educate them where you're at. Mm-hmm. Don't blow them up. Be smart about it. And nobody said it was easy.
Yeah.
Nobody. Because it's not. you know? There's a reason why hunters who have been hunting for 30 plus years don't kill mature deer every year, you know, and I know some do. Some have the luxury of having farms where these deer never leave and they can put in the time and know they're there. Patterns. I don't have that.
Yep. Nope.
So there's a reason why I don't do it every year. It's because it's not easy to do.
Nope. But here's the thing. If you love hunting, it doesn't matter. If they come out, they come out. If they don't, they don't.
Yep.
Just be out there. You got meat in the freezer.
And you're definitely not going to have an opportunity if you're not there.
Oh, I had a bag of jerky for you in my fridge.
Just slap right in the tits.
I know. It's embarrassing. I just thought of it just now. Last night, I pulled it out, and I said, oh, I got to remember to bring this to him tomorrow. So I packed a bag full of jerky, and I was going to cut you half a roll of summer sausage.
Yeah. And you didn't.
I'm worthless.
I know.
I'm a shitbag now.
Yes.
I feel terrible. All right. Well, I'll bring it next week.
One free hand job.
All right.
Now we're square.
You're forgiven.
Okay.
Mature bucks, according to studies, are the first to rub trees and put down scrapes. So with knowing that, what I would suggest, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, I'm just going by what I just read, which was a study. Early, like right now, September, maybe even very early October, if you start seeing rubs and scrapes, there's probably a good chance that that could reveal the presence of a dominant buck.
Yeah.
If they're the ones doing them early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so pay attention to your woods. If you find a scrape or a rub, maybe set a camera on it, see what you got doing it, you know?
Yes.
And one thing that I talked about on the show that I just wanted to bring up is keep in mind every single, much like human beings, much like Mike and Tim, every mature buck has a different personality. They are so unique individually that it's crazy sometimes. I mean, you got that deer that I was talking about a minute ago that lived in a 200 by 200 little section.
Mm-hmm.
You may have one that has a larger range, but he is totally nocturnal and you're just not going to break him of it. You may have one that moves around at midday and doesn't give a shit. You know, I mean, they're so different. They are all so different. And
when them ladies come around fronting that sweet ass, them guys sometimes break their habits though.
Yes. Yeah, get a little goofy. And just because you got to say you have 160, 170 inch deer on your property, it may not be the dominant buck because even though it's the bigger one, doesn't mean it's the most dominant one.
Yep.
You know, and there's something to be said about that too. If you have a smaller deer that keeps running your bigger deer off, you know, it does happen. You know, so something to think about.
Some got real piss poor attitudes.
Yes.
That one that Jimmy shot last year, all broken up on the one side.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that son of a bitch was just a...
That was a Mike Tyson of the woods right there.
He's everything he saw, he's like, come here. Let's go.
He was a street fighter.
Yeah, he's a street fighter.
Yeah.
He was the, what the hell is that cat's name? He's since passed away. He was real famous for all his street fights and went to the UFC and realized, hey, these guys know how to really fight and got his ass beat. God bless America. Kimbo Slice. He was the Kimbo Slice of our woods. Until Jimmy said no more.
Kimbo Slice is a badass name.
It is. It's an extremely badass name.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, before we come back and talk about, do you have anything further on that? I'm just trying to give what advice I could think of that we haven't already talked about maybe. So
I think we covered it. It's just
Shane from Carterville-ish, have a good hunting season, man, and hope it works out for you.
Hell yeah. Good luck.
Yep. And before we talk about Spy Point again, we gotta take a potty break.
Yeah, let's do that.
Rocking a shirt with piss all over the bottom of it. Yes.
It happens.
It does. It does indeed. That's Spy classy. Point. That's pretty cool, huh?
I like it.
All right.
Okay.
I'm still having problems with Spy Point, and I have got to the point where I've just turned it into a game now. So I have fully established that they are not going to replace the brand new camera that they sent me.
Yeah.
That came defective.
Mm-hmm.
They are not going to replace it. So if they're not going to replace it, I'm just going to have fun. Make a game out of
it. As you should.
So I continue to, I have the open Facebook support thing going with them on their Messenger page, and I have the email going with them. And then every once in a while, if I get really bored, I wanted to just devote 20 or 30 minutes, which I don't anymore really, but no. I'll jump on their little chat support and just screw around with them.
Yeah.
Because they are not going to replace their camera. That's bad.
No.
And since then, I've had another one go bad.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. It completely stopped communicating to the app, and it's not as if it's not somewhere where it would be taking pictures, because like I yeah. have it set somewhere where it catches me on the lawnmower even.
And yeah.
Yeah. It totally quit working.
Are you sure the batteries are in right?
Yeah. So that's what I was going to get at, was the Facebook Messenger guy. He comes back on there and tells me, something's usually about twice a day. He'll send me something. So, make sure you know how to put your batteries in correctly was one of them, you mm-hmm. know. I think I got it, bud. I've got six of these cameras. I think I know how the batteries go in the damn things, uh-huh. you know.
Ain't my first rodeo.
No. Yeah. And, you know, then he says, one of them says, turn your camera off and back on again and tell me what the light pattern is. So I replied back and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I have done that already. In fact, I said, look at the history of this Messenger feed and you will see we have already done that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the guy the other day on the chat support, I got on there and I was still frustrated with him at this point. I'm like, you know, this is my history for this so far. This is at least the fifth or sixth chat that I've been on. Mm-hmm. I've done email support. I've tried calling. I'm not waiting on hold for over an hour. I pushed the callback option. Nobody calls me back. I've tried Facebook Messenger, literally nothing. And yeah. this guy's like, well, I'm going to take good care of you today.
Yeah, boy.
He says, can you, let's start with putting a fresh set of batteries in it. And I said, no.
No.
I have already put four sets of batteries in it. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting a fifth.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not trying to blame Duracell.
I'm just not going to do it.
Ain't that some shit?
So then he comes back and says, well, you need to quit using rechargeable batteries and go to non-rechargeable. And I replied back and said, I don't know where you got that idea, but I don't even own rechargeable AA batteries.
No.
I don't own any.
No.
The only batteries that I have that are rechargeable go to my damn drill or my saw yeah. or something, mm-hmm. not on my cameras. I don't have any of those.
My DeWalt batteries will not fit in there. I've tried.
It's just like something after another, every excuse they can make. To mm-hmm. And then later that day, I get another message back on the Facebook that says, go ahead and replace your SD card with a new SD card and everything will be fine.
Oh.
So I replied back and said, all I replied back was, LOL. What a joke.
Yeah.
What an absolute joke. So SpyPoint, whatever company out of India that you have hired to do your tech support,
yeah,
are horrible.
Get rid of them.
They are horrible. Mm-hmm. And
let's get some jobs back over here in America.
You are an American company. At the very least, put somebody on the phone that I can communicate with and talk to. Yep. I mean, that shit drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I'll follow that up with Basava Raj here in a little bit, but So I decided I was going to bite the bullet. I have six spy points and I'm now down to three that allegedly work.
Yeah.
Three that don't. Two of them I've had, you know, mm-hmm. for October will be a year. So, okay. I mean, should they last longer than a year? Yes.
Yep.
One of them I've had for 2 weeks and mm-hmm. they won't even take care of it. So I bit the bullet and I bought two Tacticams.
Oh.
I have not had the opportunity to unbox them. They just showed up, I think, yesterday.
Okay.
Maybe the day before. But so they're still in the box. Mm-hmm. So I have no reports on those yet. But yep. I did download their app. Their app was super easy. And Spy Points is too.
Yeah.
For their credit.
But to be fair.
Yes.
To be fair.
But we'll check them out and see. One thing I do like about the Tacticams already is they have video.
Mm-hmm.
SpyPoint does not offer video unless you get into the Flex camera, which is new.
Yep.
Tacticam offers the video or the still, and I don't like the fact it's a 12 battery operation versus 8. But
son of a bitch, That's a lot harder to put 12 in the right way than it is just 8.
No doubt.
You're bound to have one backwards. Yeah,
absolutely. I'll be on the damn tech support with Basavaraj in India trying to figure out Taktika. No, I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know
so
who
does
Taktika
the plus
uses
end go to the negative end right. or to the plus plus touch? I don't know. Because at this day and age, you can't go wrong.
And I'm supposed to be using rechargeables, right?
Yes. Yeah. Rechargeables, 100%. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Now,
I think,
what are their packages for their... Because I know with Tacticam, there is no free imaging.
Right.
Like with the SpyPoint, you get the first 100. If you want to stay on that package, first 100's free.
Right.
After that, you start paying
which that gets eat up in like 4 days.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It normally does. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't dove into their packages yet, but I do. It says on their box that packages start at $5 per month. So...
Okay.
Their entry level instead of free will be $5 a month.
Okay.
But I don't know what that gets you.
As long as it's more than 100, it's not terrible.
Yeah, I don't
know. Now, if it's 5 for 100, that's kind of...
I might be able to figure it out.
You're going to get into some serious snowballing there.
Tacticam, camera...
Mine are supposed to reset...
Packages.
...today, which I don't understand because, you know, it tells you how many days till they reset.
Mm-hmm.
And my cameras right now that are supposed to reset say 0 days left till they reset. So technically, to me, 0 days left would be like right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. But this one says 0 days left, and this one's at 1,000 out of 1,000. So last month, I hit the 1,000 like 15 days in. So I've been waiting really patiently for 15 days. And now it says today, I thought today would jump up and say, boom. You know, you're reset. No, now it's I just got to wait 0 days and then they'll reset.
Mine have been saying that too. So on one screen, it will tell me that I have 18 days left. But then when you click on that actual camera mm-hmm. to look at the photos or whatever, it will say 0 days left on it. Mine says the same shit.
Yeah.
Data plans. That's what I'm looking for.
So I'm hoping this one resets sometime today because I want to see what pictures I've missed for the last 15 days.
Mm-hmm. So their starter plan is $5 monthly or $55 yearly. So it's about $4.58 a month if you do the yearly. And no activation fees, videos, see, 250 photos is
what's for included. Five?
Yeah.
250 is not terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got an area where you're only getting, you know, 5 to 10 a day, that works out pretty well.
Add a camera for $5 per month on that plan. The middle plan gets you 500 photos, and that is $8 a month or $85 yearly. And then the pro plan, which is unlimited, is $13 a month or $120 yearly.
I think $120 was the same price of the spy points unlimited, because that's what I had last year on that one. And that's when they tried to recharge me on the one that currently still isn't working.
Right.
But I'm going to have to go in the woods and get it out because it's pissing me off.
Yeah.
And I want to know if it's at least taking pictures.
Right.
And I can pull it off the card and see what I've had out there.
Right.
But it's aggravating me because it's still... And that one, the battery is like dissolving. I just put that one out a couple weeks ago. And it's telling me right now that I have 70% battery power. The one that I put out 2 months ago, still at 92, and then the solar-powered one still at 100%. But the one that I put out 2 months ago, still saying 92% battery. This one that I put out 2 weeks ago is telling me it's down to 70%. And I don't know what the hell's eating battery, because it ain't transmitting shit to me, so
right.
I don't know.
You obviously need to put new batteries in them and switch out your SD card and make sure you put your batteries in
correctly. The right way. Yeah. That's probably why it's at 70%. One's probably the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to get another brand new SD card.
I'm just obvious. It's obvious.
Yeah, because this one I put an SD card in. I bought a brand new SD card, brand new batteries, everything. So, yeah, I'll just have to buy another SD card.
Right.
And it's probably got to be a SpyPoint SD card. This way they can make an extra $19
out of me. And resubscribe, because then it will work flawlessly.
Yeah.
You just got to put the paid package on it. And
I
got to
cancel it off and instead of going free, go
paid.
Good.
Yeah. You're good.
Okay.
Yeah. Because still to this point, out of my three faulty ones, all three of those were on the 100 free plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the two that I'm paying for are the ones that I'm transmitting. The one that I put on free this year, that last year was on the unlimited.
Yeah.
It's not taking pictures.
Yeah, Spy Point can kiss my ass. And the only reason I'm still using them is because I still have three that function. So you I'm just going to go ahead and use them. That's it. Assuming these Tacticams work the way I hope they're going to work. If they do, I will just slowly over the course of time as they go bad, transition
them over.
Tacticams.
Now, what was the price on the Tacticams?
It depends on which ones you get. So I did buy the Pros.
Okay.
So they were $160.
That's still not terrible.
You know, which is the same price point as the Spy Point Flex, which is their high-end one.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
so
Yeah. That's not terrible.
But I think they're non-pros, whatever you want to call them, the Tacticam Reveal. There's like the Reveal and the Reveal X and the Reveal X Pro, I guess is how.
Mm-hmm.
They're all comparable to everything in Spy Point. I mean, you're going to get them in that same price point range. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
The biggest difference between the Spy Point has the advantage, but it's only an advantage when it actually works. And if it doesn't work, it's not an advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that they have the free package.
The free package.
Yeah, no other one does.
Yeah.
But again, it doesn't matter.
Maybe one of these days those guys will be straight legit with you and just say, hey, why don't you try putting it on a paid package and see what happens?
Right.
Holy shit, it works. For only $5.99 a month.
Right.
Now I got another working camera.
Yeah. Not unreal. I have honestly never in my life, this is true, honest, had such poor customer support as I've had from Spy Point.
Yeah. Or a need for it.
It is absolutely atrocious.
You shouldn't have a need for it in 1 year.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I've never seen anything like it in ever.
My oldest camera finally took a shit on me this year, and I've had that for 9-10 years. Just a regular old camera to take pictures. I called it Old Faithful. I mean, it was a big old blocky ass, ugly, hideous thing in the woods, but that son of a bitch has worked for 8 or 9 years. And this year I put it out and I didn't get nothing from it.
I've got a Bushnell camera that's like that. I've had it for a long time and I haven't put it out this year, but if I did, I guarantee you I'd be getting pics on it.
Yeah. Well, that was this one. It was Old Faithful. I've got all these brand new ones every year. I pick up a couple of new ones.
I have a camera called Old Faithful.
And it stopped this year on me. Made me sad. So I threw it against a tree and called it a day. I did pick it up and throw it away. I didn't leave it out there.
Well, that's
I was
good.
Like, you son of a bitch.
Well, you want to take 15 seconds and then come back with Shooter to let it walk?
Yep.
All right.
Bam.
Hunting and fishing days.
Yeah, that was a question we needed to talk about.
So I got, you know, we had talked about last week that I had emailed them saying, you know, hey, what the hell? You know, we were interested in coming back and setting up a booth and so forth and so on, but I'd like to know your schedule of events. When does the show close? When does it open? When's setup day? You know, everything on your website says coming soon,
you know,
something like that. And her reply back to me was, you know, we'd love to have you. Here's the application.
Thank you.
So I'm like, yeah, I replied and I said, I've got the application. That's not what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a week. She finally replied back to me and said, yeah, we have not finalized all of that yet.
Damn.
So we are now just a little over 3 weeks away from Southern Illinois Hunting and Fishing Days. And
yes,
they have not finalized any of that.
Huh. We're not sure what time we're staying open till, what time we're closing.
What the hell?
Yeah, no kidding. Don't they realize me and you are busy people?
No, apparently not.
We're covered up with shit, and we're trying to make plans. The Great Gatsby's just in limbo right now, not knowing when and where, you know, what's going on for Whitetails Unlimited because of these dickbags.
Yes.
All this tomfoolery is just too much for me sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't like shitbags either.
No.
Not even a little.
No, it's frustrating.
I sounded like
for
a big boy in that voice.
Well, yeah, maybe you like.
Yeah, I sounded all grown up.
You just decided you were going to beef up that day.
Yeah. Must have had had some good pills that morning.
Made me sound like a man.
Some folks has asked me, if you had it to do over again, would you do it the same way? Well, I reckon I would.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not changing a damn thing.
Yeah, so we still, this 25 days away or whatever it is, have absolutely no intel whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I really don't.
No. No.
So, shoot it or let it walk, are we going to hunting fishing days? I'm still in the, me personally, I'll let you answer for yourself. I'm still in the shoot it mode, but I'm slowly getting more agitated over it.
I'm almost to the point, I'm with you, I'm kind of like, we're going to do it, and if they decide to come back and say, hey, it goes on until 8 p.m., we shut that bitch down at 5 and dart over to the other thing.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Shoot it or let, you got one? I don't want to just do mine back to back.
No,
here.
Let them rip.
Okay, shoot it or let it walk was this divine intervention. So, let me dig in my pocket.
Pocket's always
full. Get into my pocket for a second. So, despite my disgustingness and weird sense of humor, I am, at the end of the day, a Christian man.
Yep.
So, I do attend Our Lady of Mount Carmel Catholic Church here in Heron. So, I joined the Catholic Church because of Father Ken Schaefer. Always admired the guy, thought he was remarkable, great human being, and great pastor, and just the dude was legit. He answered the bell no matter what was going on, sickness.
Yeah.
He battled cancer. He answered the bell, and he was always at Mass. So he's the reason why I decided to become a Catholic, you know, I mean, still a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
People confuse that. It isn't. We all still believe the same thing. We just have a different denomination behind our name.
Bam.
But anyway, when he passed away from cancer, sadly, but before passing, of course, we had these little coins that he, it's a little angel coin that he blessed.
Okay.
So since I have received this coin, it is always in my pocket. Always. If my Havilon knife is attached to me, my coin's in my pocket too.
Bam.
All the time. So with that said, I'm going to put it back in my pocket.
So you don't lose it. Quality decision right there.
So listen to this.
Okay.
I come out here. I was going to go, Elaine was with me. I was going to go work in the woods. I was going to go do some trail work and various maintenance and stuff, especially on the new property.
As we should.
So I brought out here a pair of jeans and a long sleeve shirt and stuff like that because it's tick season, right? So mm-hmm. I'm trying to get as much layers as I can for tick season. And I'm standing in this room, the Whiskey and Whitetail Studio, right here. And I reach in my pocket, and I feel that I have my coin, as I always do. I'm always constantly feeling just to make sure it's still there, right? So mm-hmm. I'm like, I've still got my coin. Do I want to take it with me out in the woods? This coin always goes with me.
Yeah.
So I went ahead, and I stuck it in my pocket of my pants
mm-hmm.
to take with me. So we jump on the side-by-side. We head out of the woods. We're out there bebopping, stomping, doing our thing, and eventually, I come back in, and I change clothes back into my shorts, and I don't have my coin.
Hmm.
And I freaked out. I got upset about it, and I was searching all over the place. I went out to the side-by-side. I pulled the cushion off the side-by-side to make sure if it hadn't slid out of my pocket down into the frame of the machine somewhere, you know. You name it, I looked all over the floor in this room. I went through my pockets on my jeans like 15 times because obviously if it wasn't there the first, it's not going to be there the 15th either, but I'm still searching for it.
You're still going to check, yeah.
I was tore up because this coin means a lot to me. And I go in the house and I'm telling Mary about it and I'm like, oh, I'm just told her I'm tore up over this. I'm just going to let you know I'm upset over it. I said, I realize it's just a coin, but it's a coin from a mentor of mine and it means a lot to me.
Yep.
And it, I hate this, you know, and mm-hmm. I was upset about it. And I get done telling her, and I come back outside again, and I go through the side-by-side again. I come into this room, and I go through everything all over again. I'm like, this damn thing, there's no telling where in the woods it is. So mm-hmm. I've finally reached a point where I've just settled on the fact that at least it's on my property somewhere. And
yeah,
that's the best I got. You know, it's here.
It's here somewhere.
It's not on me, but it's at least here. You can't make this stuff up, Michael. God is my witness. My wife is my witness. I sit in my chair in the living room, and I'm watching probably a Cardinal game, if I had to guess, sitting here stewing over this whole thing, eating mm-hmm. me up. And I got up because I was going to go do something. I don't know, but whatever I needed to do, I was going to put my house slippers on. I have a little pair of house slippers that sits next to my chair in there.
I wrap myself.
They're slippers, they're shoes, whatever you want to call
them. We'll call them slippers. It's manly.
I only wear them in the house typically, or if I go out on the porch or something. Yep. I slid them on, And I start walking, and I think, I've got a rock in my slipper, damn it. So I took my slipper off, and I dump it out on the floor, and guess what falls out?
The coin.
That coin.
Hmm.
That coin I just showed you. I was nowhere around my house slippers at any point in time. The last time I had possession of that coin was in this room when I changed clothes.
Yeah.
How did it end up in my house slipper in the house?
I don't know. No clue.
True story. Like, it made me emotional. I mean, I guarantee I will be man enough to admit it here on this podcast. It made me emotional.
Oh, absolutely.
So shoot her to let it walk, divine intervention.
Oh, 100% shoot it. Yeah. 100%. And that's a good shoot it.
Absolutely.
That's not like a horse crap shoot it. That's a definite divine shoot it.
So I do have my coin back in my pocket and haven't lost it since. Mm-hmm. And hopefully never do again. But
that's a pretty solid story.
There you go.
I like it.
You want to get your eat on?
Yep. I got an idea.
What you like to eat in there?
What's your idea?
I can tell you.
Lay it on me.
Little thing I found, which I'm doing this weekend. Didn't have time last weekend because I did jerky last week and I did summer sausage last week, and then we did the fair one day. So that kind of took up my whole weekend.
Yep.
So this weekend, it's a little recipe. It's called a smoked shotgun shell.
I am making those Friday.
Are you?
I am at tailgate.
Are you shitting me?
I'm not. I'm doing those Friday at the tailgate.
Nice. So you know exactly what I'm talking
about. Manicotti noodles stuffed with cheese and sausage and beef.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then.
And wrapped in bacon.
And wrapped in bacon. Yes. Hell yeah. I'm doing them this weekend.
So
you'll have to let me know Saturday how much of a success they were.
We tailgate at every home football game here, and that is the menu for Friday night, is smoked shotgun shells.
Nice.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder. I'll let you go.
No. You done well. I was excited when I saw the recipe. I was like, ooh, I am trying this. Because it's bacon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't go wrong with bacon.
No, it'll
you
be. Can't. There's no doubt it'll be phenomenal.
Yeah.
No doubt about
it. And then
you
throw a little bit. Now, my question is you are more of a professional smoker than I am. Would you go longer than the estimated time and lower the heat, or just get her done like they say to get it done?
I am going to, at least, because this is my first attempt. Now, usually when I do a first attempt at something, I try to follow the recipe.
Follow the way they do it, yeah.
And if I find somewhere along the line that I want to tweak it, then I'll tweak it next time. But now, this time I intend to follow it as it says.
The noodles, you're going to bake them first?
No.
Or not bake them, but boil them first so they're moist, or are you just going to stuff them dry?
I'm going to stuff them dry because I think where they soften up is when, at least if it's the same recipe, I don't know where you found it, but
yeah.
If it's the same recipe, it sits in the fridge for like 4 hours or something, 4 or more hours.
Okay, that I didn't see.
Including maybe up to overnight. So I think that is where your noodles will soften.
It'll absorb the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
The one I saw was just take the noodle, stuff it.
If you're going to cook them right away,
wrap it,
you're going to have to soften the noodle first.
Yeah, because if not, it's going to...
But the recipe that I have says to stuff them and then refrigerate them for at least minimum of 4 hours up to overnight. And that's where, in my opinion, and Mary and I talked about it the other day, actually, that we feel it's going to absorb that liquid and stuff out of that and soften the noodle. And
yeah.
So
you're going to put them in overnight?
No, I'm not going to put them in overnight. I'm going to do them Friday morning and then refrigerate them all day Friday.
Okay.
Up to the point that I'm got to cook them for the tailgate. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's what I'll rock on Saturday then. I'll put them together Saturday morning and then.
Well, I'll let you know Friday evening.
Yeah. And let me know Friday evening.
That way if you need to change up a little bit, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're not going to hold them, rest them like that, I would think you would have to do something to soften them.
I was going
to
say, whenever my wife makes stuffed manicotti with ricotta cheese, it's always boil the noodles, stuff them.
Yeah.
But you're also stuffing cheese in there, ricotta cheese, which is a lot denser. You know what I mean? You can actually put that in without tearing the sides or blowing them up.
Yeah, sure.
I think it'd be kind of hard to stuff meat inside there without the sides going whoop.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know Friday night, and then...
What irony that we have the same recipe.
Tim, we're right there.
Yeah.
Wavelengths.
Was it Meat Church? Is that where you found it?
No, I just seen it on a TikTok thing.
Oh, okay. So I got it off of Meat Church's website.
And I watched and I stopped it and rewatched it and wrote down every step, ingredients, how long to cook, how long to, because you take them out at one point, cover them in barbecue sauce, put them back in, and then another 15 minutes.
I don't know if I'll sauce them or not. I'm up in the air on that one. I'm kind of like thinking I might, and then I'm thinking, man, maybe not. You know?
Yeah.
Mary suggested doing half of them. Half sauce half of them and don't sauce the other half.
Damn. So can't go wrong. It's going to have bacon on it.
Yeah.
You're not losing.
You either love bacon or you're wrong, right?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was you got anything else?
No, that was it.
My get your eat on was from last Wednesday that I shared pictures with you. I did 2 racks of ribs.
You did.
And we did some bacon wrapped asparagus.
You yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. Man, oh man, were they good. I'm going to say, if I may try to be semi-modest here, hands down, the best ribs I've ever made.
Really?
They were so good. And the only thing I did different, not to toot my own horn, but I got lazy. I like to make my own barbecue rubs. Well, I have a salt, pepper, garlic blend, and I also have one that I call a rib tickler. So I just use it for ribs. Well, I had ran out of both of those. So I've been using other people's commercial products on my ribs for the last, I don't know, half a dozen cooks because I've been too lazy to make my own stuff again. Well, the day prior, so last Tuesday, I went ahead and made a batch of both of those so that on Wednesday when I did my ribs, I had my stuff. And whether or not that made the difference, maybe it was just the cut of ribs that we had, quality, yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But man, were they good.
They looked good if that's any consolation. They were so good.
The bacon wrapped asparagus was something we talked about on the show, and yeah, I thought I'm going to do those. You
and
know,
you did.
So oh yeah,
and
they were great.
You did.
They were great.
Yeah, I was like, bacon.
My wife was crazy. She was preparing them for me, and I walked in the kitchen. I go, "What are you doing?" So she was taking one stick of asparagus and trying to wrap a piece of bacon around it.
That's a tough call.
And she's like, "This is going to take a lot of time." I go, "That ain't how I do that." And she goes, "Well, what do you do?" I said, "I usually bundle them in like 3." And then wrap all 3 of them in bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, that's how we
even 2
it.
Would work.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a wider base.
Yeah, you just knock it out a little quicker and you're not as, yeah, but.
All you would taste is bacon. If you put one piece of bacon around one piece of asparagus, it would just be a straight.
Oh, they were good, though.
Bacon fest.
They were so good.
Which isn't wrong either.
No. There should be a bacon fest if there's not.
Yeah. We'll need to start it.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dry fire our bow, want to?
Yep.
What dry fires you, man?
Well,
got to be something.
There is.
You've been letting me down the last couple weeks.
No. I think I had something last week. But this week, it's just how bucked up this country really is.
Yeah.
When we decide that we're going to forgive student loan debts and to hell with medical bills, we're being canceled. We're going to be after this. Yeah. That is complete and utter horseshit. You choose to go to college knowing your potential future is going to be paying back this debt for set amount of years or whatever. But that's why you go to college, is to make that money to be able to pay that back, right?
Like my mom said, what about John Q. Jojo over there who decided John Q. wasn't going to go to college, but now he's on the hook for paying for somebody else's college?
Yep. I couldn't go to college.
You know, he's
no option.
Whatever.
I had no option. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't get all those student loans like that. And so I had to build my way up throughout the years before I got into management, before I started making decent money.
You know, I went to college. My wife has gone to college. She's gone as far as to get her master's degree.
Yeah.
And we paid for our own shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
paid out your ass. But you paid it.
Yeah, I mean, and some of that was scholarships through SIH for her.
Yeah,
because she's employed there. But
scholarships, different story.
Yeah, but still, the portions that we owed, we paid.
Yeah, and now they're gonna take all these little shitbag, do nothing pieces of trash and give them all freedom of debt. Yeah, we don't like shitbags either. No, but yet, if you've got cancer or you've got this and it's dragging you down, and now you can no longer work because of your illness, you're still on the line for all them bills. Mm. And if you're not, your kin is, your spouse is, all these bills, and that's not just cancer, anything. You know, there's a ton of different ailments out there that cause people not to be able to work. A heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're on this heart medicine that's $400 or $500 a month.
Back injury.
Yeah. Now you're on these medicines that's costing this, your doctor's appointments, your back surgeries, and you're on the line for all that. You didn't ask for none of that.
Nope.
These people asked for these college degrees and this schooling and, you know, didn't want to, you know, a lot of them do it. And I'm not saying that they all do. A lot of them do it because they don't want to go to work. They're going to go, I'm going to go party for 4 years and then I'll go get a job at the damn Dairy Queen. And now here we are. We're going to get to take on their debt. You're welcome, shitbags of America. You're welcome.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what dry fires my bow?
Yes, I do.
Hey, I want to be a capuchin monkey.
Yeah.
That dry fires my bow.
As you should be, though.
No, China dry fires my bow.
China.
And here's why. So, roughly a year ago, and this kind of ties into Basavaraj over here, too. Number one, why as English-speaking people, when we have to call a tech support, can we not get somebody you can actually communicate with?
Yes.
So about a year ago, somebody out of China hacked my website and took it down. And, of course, that's my business.
Mm-hmm.
So I connect with the hosting provider, which is Bluehost, is who I host my RTS page through. I host Backwoods Bowhunter through, you know, a couple other things, all through Bluehost. So I reach out to Bluehost and they tell me, well, that's how I learned I'd been hacked. Somebody in China did this, that, and the other. They've inserted all this stuff onto your website and took it down. I noticed there was issues, like it gradually built up. There would be an issue here or there, and yeah. I'd have to get on the support and say, hey, I've got an issue. And they'd come back and say, okay, we solved it. You're good to go. And then 2 weeks later, I'd be back on the support. And eventually that just evolved into it just crashed and burned.
Yeah, gone.
So I went through the process of hiring SiteLock Security. So not only the time that was involved in it, but the financial burden that was involved in it as well for them to come in and clean it all up and take care of it and get us back online. Okay. Everything's been great. Until fast forward a year later,
yep.
2 weeks ago, I start having issues with the site. And, you know, somebody would email me and say, hey, we're trying to go check out this page, but yet your site won't load, or it says error 22 on it or something like that. And I'm like, what? You know, so I would get on my phone or get on my computer and go to it and be like, I'll be damned, you know, it's mm-hmm. down, you know. And
down.
So I get on Bluehost and they send me somebody named close to Basavaraj and they'll get me going again for a few days and mm-hmm. then it'll do the same thing. So I get to thinking, I bet I'm having the same exact issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I call SiteLock because I don't know if I still have the SiteLock plan on my site, you know, so I need to find that out. So I call SiteLock and I get this lady on the phone who doesn't speak a freaking lick of English. And all I could do is go, ma'am, I have no idea what you are asking me
yep.
or saying to me. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And she would reply something again, incoherent. And
yep.
I would reply, again, ma'am, I have no idea what you're trying to say or what you're wanting me to do or if you're even telling me to do something.
Uh-huh.
I don't know yeah. what you're asking for.
She may just be asking you how your day's going.
And eventually I said, ma'am, I'm hanging up. I cannot comprehend anything you're telling me. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. I hung up on her.
Yeah.
That frustrates the shit out of me. Why, as an English-speaking person,
yep.
can I not get somebody who speaks some version of English?
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Not even the broken.
I can at least understand enough to say, yeah. you're okay, you're asking me for my pen or yeah. whatever. At least understand you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So I jump back on the Bluehost chat support to express my disgust, and I get Basavaraj. Now, this is chat support, so I'm not speaking to Basavaraj.
Yeah.
Based on Basavaraj's name, I'm sure he doesn't speak what I speak.
Nope, probably not.
Especially my speak, which is redneck.
Yeah, good possibility.
So Basavaraj was a great help, though. And he said, yes, this is what we need to do. In fact, your site lock has expired, so we can renew that, which, mm-hmm. of course, is a chunk
of course.
Coin.
Yep.
But nonetheless, once we renewed that and Basavaraj went in there and did whatever he needed to do, my site has worked flawlessly since. Now, you know, in the meantime, it took down my whole systems. So a lot of updates and things that I've been needing to do, I haven't been able to do because I've been hacked out of China again. Now, why on earth does anybody in China want to pick on a little country redneck in Southern Illinois?
Yeah.
And take down his site?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No clue.
Why? I mean, there are many bigger players out there than me.
Yeah.
You know, why do they give a shit if Backwoods Bowhunter's website is functioning or not?
Trying to take down a little man. But that's all I can think.
But Savaraj helped me out, but that's what dry fires my bow, is the fact that these idiots in China want to mess with me.
Yeah.
When they could be picking on somebody that matters. And two, why can't I get somebody
who speaks
English? Some version of it anyway.
I'm sure there's some people that probably need jobs that would be more than glad to sit their ass at home and answer a phone instead of having to actually go out and work.
Right.
So they could sit at home and do this job and make minimal pay. But I mean, once they get the pay though, then they'd lose their government assistance. And then that would be a whole new battle right there.
Yeah.
Cause then they're like, hey, wait, I'm self-sufficient right now.
This is too much. No. We can't go there.
No, I'll have to quit this job.
Yeah.
I love the people that say, well, I can't work over X amount of hours a week. They'll take away my food stamps. I'm like, you son of a bitch. That's the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Work more hours so you don't need food stamps. Not work less hours so you can continue to get free shit. Get off your ass and work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Sheesh. People.
You ready to roll out?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if that Backwoods Bowhunter episode didn't dry fire your bow, come back next week.
Bam.
Backwoods Bowhunter can be found at backwoodsbowhunter.com, and that is up and running. So we are there. And you can click that shop link. We have some new merch. I'm wearing it today.
Sweet.
And
like it.
I don't know if the camera still works or not. But
it might not.
Backwoods Bowhunter t-shirt going on.
Pretty sweet.
And we're on the social medias as well.
Like and share.
And you can contact us via email, like Shane from Carterville-ish, at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com. And
I hope Shane has good luck this year.
It's bound to happen. I hope so, too.
It's bound to happen.
Oh.
Keep taking the deer, though.
I almost forgot before we go.
What?
September shooting challenge. I got a shooting challenge.
Yeah?
I don't know what to call it.
Okay.
Got to have a hashtag. I don't know what to call it.
Okay.
But here's my challenge to the listening audience, and I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I'm not going to do, okay? Pick any 10 days in the month of September.
10 days.
Any 10. And shoot at least one arrow. Preferably more, but if you only have time to fire one arrow, shoot one arrow at least 10 days in the month of September. Jump on the Backwoods Bowhunter Facebook page and send us a pic or some comment. Hey, I shot my arrow today or whatever. Or over on the Instagram and do the same and hashtag us.
Yeah.
I don't know what hashtag to use, though.
What about?
So that we can find it. And if we hashtag it, I will select somebody to win a prize package, and it will be a prize package worth your time, I promise you.
Sweet.
All you got to do, 10 days in September.
I'll have to be sending my pictures then.
Shoot at least one arrow. Hashtag us at, what do you have?
Hashtag shoot it or walk.
Shoot it or walk.
Is that too long?
No, I'm good with that.
Because we got shoot it or let it walk. But either you shoot it or you walk.
Okay. Shoot it or walk. I'm going to take a note of that real quick.
Is that terrible?
I don't care.
Okay.
I didn't have anything. So
I mean, it was on the whim. It was like a last second, hey, we got to do this.
I'm good with it. Shoot it or walk. I'll put that in the show notes as well so you don't forget. Shoot or walk, tag us on your Instagram page. That way I can find it. Or jump over on the Backwoods Bowhunter Facebook page and put your picture or your comment and hashtag shoot it or walk. And somebody will win a very nice prize package, I promise you.
Sweet.
All right. And in closing, along with said challenge, grab your bow and get after it.
Get them kids out.
Thanks for listening to another Backwoods Bowhunter episode. Didn't get enough? Climb down out of your tree stand and get ready for another epic episode next week. The Backwoods boys will take you back downrange for more bow hunting content.